Thank you. The recording started. Please go ahead.
Great. Thanks. Gisela, would you be so kind as to do a roll call?
With pleasure. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's IRG call on Monday, the 27th of September, we have Avery Doria, Jim Galvin. From staff, we have Julie Hedlund, Dave Piscatello, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And we have apologies from Andrei Kolesnikov, Steve Metallitz, Edmund Chung, and Jeremy Hitchcock. If I could please just remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Julie.
Great. Thanks so much, Gisela. Thank you.
Gisela, you forget me.
I'm so terribly sorry. And we have Rafik Damak on the call. I don't know how I possibly have forgotten him. My apologies.
Thank you very much, Gisela. Thank you, Rafik. This is Julie Hedlund. Welcome to everyone. I have some very good news to convey to all of you. Steve Shane cannot be on the call today, but for a very good reason. He and his wife, Phoebe, have welcomed into the world a new daughter, Teresa, their first child. So he has, I think, a very, very good reason for missing the call today. And what I'd like to do today, it does not look like we'll have our chairs joining us. We'll continue with the call, I think, as long as we feel we want to discuss these items, since we do have work group members on the call. I've sent around to the working group two documents, the notes that Steve Shang had taken from the last two calls, and also the staff summary document that we've been using as a basis of our discussion for the last several calls. We've been working through the preliminary recommendations in that document with the goal to see if we can come to some consensus on these issues. And as of the last call, we had proceeded through to page six, staff summary document, and that brought us into the issue of registration status and how to address that. And based on the notes from last call, the staff noted that the HUA specification in the new GTLD guidebook is to choose option two of the options that we'd set forth, which was always publish the exact EPP status code and leave it to the clients to decide whether to localize or not. The parties on the call agreed that the work group should follow what ICANN has required in the new GTLD guidebook, and I just wanted to ask whether or not the working group members on this call feel we need to proceed for further discussion on this particular issue or to move on to the next issue. All right. Hearing no objections, I think that we could go ahead and proceed to the next item for discussion, and I'll ask Dave Piscatello to lead us through the technical aspects of this, but I will go ahead and tee it up. The next item was how to address entity names and address, including registrant, admin contact name and addresses, technical contact name and addresses, and recommendations concerning entity name, which will come a little bit further in this discussion. The preliminary recommendation on entity names and addresses was the WHOIS data fields should be separately internationalized, specifically WHOIS output for domain names, sponsoring registrar, telephone/fax, email address should be internationalized as discussed above. And there were some observations that staff had made in this regard. Although the IRDWG discussed the issue of internationalizing each element of registration data separately, it did not discuss whether or not to internationalize or localize the labels for these elements. So a question we could discuss here is, should the labels always be in U.S. ASCII or should these labels be localized? So perhaps we can take up that issue here on this call if you'd like. Any thoughts? Oh, and I see that Bob Hutchinson has joined us. Bob, welcome.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. And just to let you know, we're on page six of the staff summary document that I've sent around to the list, and we are proceeding from the discussion on last week's call to sort of go through the various elements and possible recommendations on how to address each of these issues.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly when you joined, but we're now on the issue of the address and entity name, and should the labels for these be in US ASCII or localized. And Dave, jump in if you'd like to expand on any of these items as well. I'm just basically reading out from the staff summary document.
Julie, this is Dave. I have one question. The staff summary document that I have only has 3 pages. And you said you're on page 6?
Yeah, there's 9 pages total.
Yeah, I've got 9.
Oh,
and,
I see.
What I sent around, I think, Dave, did you get what I sent? It should be a PDF. Did I send a PDF, or I can't remember if I sent that or if I sent it as...
The notes file.
Looking at that last piece. Sorry. I apparently just got your email. So.
Oh, okay. Great. If you could reference that document, that should be the complete version. And I'm sorry, Aubrey, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, that's okay. I was just saying that the notes thing you sent around only had 3 pages.
Yes, and the notes are brief. That's true. That's absolutely correct. So you have the document, Dave?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. So anyway, I'd like to go ahead and open this up for discussion and among the working group members. Please go ahead. Any thoughts on entity names, an address?
So this is Jim. I'll just speak out and say I'm generally in favor of them appearing in ASCII, the labels staying in ASCII, with an option to localize it if they want to.
This is really, thank you, Jim. That's helpful. Others? Any thoughts from others? Any disagreement with that option? That is, the entity names and address would appear in ASCII as well as the labels, that there would be an option to localize?
This is Dave. I just have a question for Jim. So are you envisioning a two sets of information or one set of information? So, for example, would I have an ASCII, an ASCII contact, full set of contact information with an ASCII label, and then perhaps a UTF contact information with ASCII labels? So I'm just trying to understand the permutations that we have here.
To be honest, I'm trying not to cast an opinion on that particular issue. We've discussed this issue in the same way with values, right, with the labels. Should they be allowed to appear twice? I don't sense that we have real consensus on that issue across the board yet either. So I guess I'm trying to be open-minded about the answer to that question at the moment.
Okay, that's fine. I think that the one value that that we have with keeping the labels in ASCII is that a great deal of work has already gone into automation for legitimate purposes, and having labels in multiple languages actually would create a significant penalty for automation.
I actually agree with that. I'm with you. I'm trying to stay open-minded about what we ultimately do, but yes, I agree with that observation and believe it's pretty significant.
So should we should staff document that as a note or an observation in the report?
I would say so.
So this is Julie. Thanks, Dave and Jim. Are there other suggestions, comments on this?
This is offering for those with wandering attentions. What exactly are we saying has to be added to the report?
Avery, this is Dave. I made an observation to Jim that if you have labels in that's other than ASCII, a great deal of existing automation for legitimate purposes would have to be rewritten, and the sort of complexity of trying to match records becomes even more so when you're not quite certain what the label is.
I understand that, but are we drawing a conclusion from that, or are we just raising a flag that says, therefore, more work needs to be done? Or are we using that to somehow say, and therefore, maybe we shouldn't worry about all this stuff?
Well, only with respect to labels, I think it would be worthwhile having people who in particular do a lot of this automation weigh in. So I was simply raising the point and thinking that we would make the note and see what kind of comments we get back from the broader community.
Okay, that works for me. I just all of a sudden I wasn't sure whether I had lost track of, and therefore we were saying that maybe it shouldn't happen. As long as we're not doing that, I'm fine with raising the flag.
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, if you want, what we can do is make certain that ask specifically for some comment by those who develop automation.
This is Julie. Did I hear someone else trying to comment?
Yes, I was going to make the observation. This is Bob Hutchison. That a great assumption that we have in current ASCII left to right is that everything is left to right, and when you localize into a number of different Arabic languages, things are no longer left to right. I believe Hebrew is that way as well. And I don't know how that affects labeling and how in those environments they would prefer to see this done. And if you don't address that, that's probably another corner case that sort of needs to be addressed here.
Thanks, Bob. Other comments?
This is Dave. Bob, do you want us to make an observation about that, too?
I think our job is to actually make recommendations on this, and I think we need to understand what the all of the nuances of this particular problem are. This is kind of core central to what we should be concluding out of this report, I think, and so that's my take on it. Does the group feel that the extent of our responsibility is to outline the problem, or is the extent of our responsibility to propose a solution?
So this is Dave. I'll take a shot at answering that. What I think we're attempting to do in time for Cartagena is provide an interim report that identifies the progress thus far, we're fully cognizant of the fact that we don't have, sufficient information and input to make the recommendations that you're absolutely right, the group ultimately will have to do. So as Aubrey, the words that Aubrey used earlier, I think, are applicable. Further study is needed in several areas here. And the two we talked about here, I think, are two very typical candidates of where we need to do more work and get more input.
Yes, this is Jim. I think this issue of U.S. ASCII by default and other representations optionally, and whether the permutation is you always display both or you can do either or, I think this is a pretty far-reaching principle that applies in multiple places. So I think that for now, calling it out as an observation in the specific areas where it matters is very helpful. And at some point, we're going to have to look at all of those circumstances, all of those situations, and see if it's possible to come to a consensus view on what's the right thing to do. And it may very well be that we need more input. This group of people is, insufficient to have a complete discussion on the issue.
Further comments on that particular item or this issue in general? Okay. Thank you.
So, for Cartagena, what is this? Is there any consensus in this group as to what we're going to say about what Jim just stated for Cartagena? Is it that we will outline some of the thinking around localization of string names, entity names, and basically say conclude that more work needs to be done here, or will we go further than that?
I think, as you said, we'll state that these are the points of discussion at the moment, and I don't think that we as a working group have come to a conclusion for a recommendation it's still under discussion in the group. So more work needs to be done inside the group, but we're not recommending more work outside the group yet. I mean, this is still just an interim report.
I'm happy with that.
Oh, go ahead. Was that Bob? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yes, that was Bob. Sorry.
No, please go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Were you going to respond to what Jim said?
I said I was happy with, with that as Cartagena, to be in the report, there's essentially an outline of the problem and the observation that the group will eventually put forth recommendations, but it's not at this point not feasible for us to do that.
Okay. Dave, any thoughts on that? I know that we've been trying to see if we can move this group to consensus on recommendations. I think we do have consensus on perhaps some of the issues we've been discussing, and that's what we'll be trying to capture in a draft report that staff is currently working on and that these discussions are being, folded into. But I guess my question is for everyone is what I'm hearing is that, there may be some things that we might be able to make recommendations on in this preliminary report, but some of these issues, for instance, relating to entity names and the issue of whether an ASCII or options for localization are issues that are fairly broad and will require more in-depth discussion and perhaps a call in the preliminary report for comments and discussion perhaps with outside parties to sort of allow this group to gain some additional insight. Any thoughts? I'm just trying to see if I can, you know, distill what you're saying, and keeping in mind that we did produce sort of a set of issues for that we were preliminarily discussing that we presented in Brussels, but perhaps with this report we can take some of the issues a little bit further while realizing that some of these broader issues bear further discussion and perhaps research within this group.
I'm not sure what you're asking me. I think that what we have at the moment is an answer to the staff observation number one that says we don't have a recommendation at this point. And I have some notes about what we would put in, as a discussion for the issue of internationalizing labels. I also have a note about the issue of localization, which is broader than the labels, but is relevant to the labels because it's like international domain names where you have com at the end of an Arabic string. So I think I have enough for Steve and I to actually write something, that satisfies both Aubrey, Jim, and Bob issues here.
Thanks, Dave, and I apologize. I didn't mean to necessarily direct it, the question just at you, but I was trying to paraphrase what I heard here, and I'm glad that you have captured it as well. I just wanted to confirm what I heard, which is that we may have some areas in which we will not be prepared to make recommendations in this preliminary report that we'll release for Cartagena. So I guess I'd like to move a little bit further ahead. On the last several calls, some of the issues we discussed included how to address how to address name server names and email address, and then, as I said, registration status. And so moving ahead with the staff document, I think to page 7, I'm just trying to see if I can follow this. One of the items that I think we haven't addressed yet, again, we talked about it sometime previously, was that some of these preliminary recommendations or some of these issues raise backward compatibility issues. That is, should previous non-IDN registration records also conform to the new requirements? Any thoughts on that particular issue here?
I guess my take on that would be that if we go forward with port 43 and UTF-8 response, at least, when I'm talking about the response part of the who is, that we should propose some sort of a header comeback that identifies internationalized WHOIS responses and or of this level. In other words, essentially a versioning so that automated tools will know have a way of keying their parsers to the kind of response that they're getting. It's a way of dealing with compatibility.
Yeah, this is Dave. Bob, I think that you're spot on with at least the first first formal message exchange that would have to actually be incorporated into successor to the WHOIS protocol as it's written today. So we're at a point where instead of just having messages where the only obligation is you terminate with a carriage returning line feed and the world is a happy place, to saying that was the old version. The new version that we're going to use is something that has very different characteristics, and at least signal that we've switched to that, so that the client can say, "I can't support it." It's a broader issue than just international registration data. So I guess the one question I would have is how should we make the observation that if we wanted to stay with port 43 that clearly some convention for illustrating or distinguishing between versions is necessary, or did you want to go further?
I'm just saying I think that's a general direction that we, as a computer person, I would basically think that's a prudent approach. We've never discussed this. I don't believe in this group. So if people have a strong feeling against going that direction or... I guess we should probably hear that.
Is it, it just strikes me that this is Jim Galvin, that being a significant technical issue, that it might be more appropriate for discussion in a broader technical community than sort of the broad general community that we have in this working group. That's a question. What do folks think about that? I guess implicit in that is that this is an issue where we would recommend that further study be considered.
Yeah, I guess philosophically, I'm wondering where the dividing lines draw in the technical community. When I looked at the RFC that somebody pointed out last time, that's the current working RFC for WHOIS, it essentially says, it's port 43. There's no constraint on what's coming back other than it has to be carriage return line feed delimited. And when the server at port 43 terminates the connection, it closes the socket connection. That's the extent of the IETF guidelines for WHOIS. And the question is... is everything else besides the technical transport description for WHOIS, which is that RFC, is everything else if WHOIS under the aegis of ICANN? And I guess my take would be yes. Essentially, IETF is looking at WHOIS, and I think they've made the right decision, which is, we don't really care about this. It's a policy thing about what kind of information you put in WHOIS. And we're talking about the philosophy of what is the information that you put in, who is, and I believe that ICANN owns that turf and needs to define it, soup to nuts.
Well, I still wonder whether our recommendation here is about things to do to who is protocol as a policy matter, things to suggest or require of people who have who is servers in the ICANN context versus recommending, you know, IRIS, which in principle solves most of the issues that we're looking at here and considering. Not all of them, of course, but a lot of them.
This is Dave. Well, I mean, I think Bob touches on a very interesting point because if you read the RFC strict letter of the document, he's absolutely right. However, there's this. You get into the situation where. As long as what we define in the ICANN world through a policy process is always interpreted as data among the servers that are supporting ICANN policies, then we can pretty I believe it would be appropriate to say that it's data, it's not protocol. If what we wanted to do what we wanted to do was to standardize protocol in a manner where the internet registries and ICANN and anyone else who used WIS for any purpose wanted to have versioning, then I think it becomes something that would fall under the IETF. So I'm making a very, very sharp distinction between who gets the right to define the data that goes over 443 using the protocol that's defined in a particular domain. Yeah, protocol domain. So I think Bob's correct from that perspective. Now, if we wanted to look at who is in a broader context than IRD and say, by the way, as long as we're changing it, there's 30 other things we'd like to fix, then, you know, IRIS comes into play, and RESTful comes into play, and, you know, lots of other things probably come into play.
So I like this distinction. This is Jim again. Let me ask a question. So it sounds like what we're doing here then is we're really talking just about the data, and we're talking about the format of the data, regardless of how it's returned, although we're thinking of this in the context of who is. But we could also include a recommendation at the bottom that doing something other than the who is protocol is worthy of future and more study. And does that also take off the table this issue of versioning in port 43? Because we're just going to focus on the data. So I guess that's two questions, but what do people think?
Oh, this is Dave. I think in order to be able to actively deploy a new data model, you'd have to actually have something in the data model that would allow clients to and servers to. Understand that they're no longer just dealing with UTF-8 or I'm sorry, ASCII, but UTF-8 or some other character set. So I think people are using flags today in this, and so something is being signaled between clients and servers to actually provide the ability to pass back UTF-8 in certain implementations, and we have several choices. We can just let everybody do whatever they want with their clients and their servers, which I don't think is a particularly good idea, but it's a choice. Or we could establish some conventions for how to do the signaling and claim that that's just part of the sub-protocol that we're defining on top of the existing GUIS protocol.
So then I'll come back to the question that I asked before, or maybe the observation that I made before two comments ago, which was, is it for us and in this group to speak to that technical issue? I mean, I thought I heard you, Dave, drawing a very clear line there about protocol versus data. So we might make the observation that the protocol needs a change to accommodate the change in data model that we're going to recommend. Shouldn't that question be put out there for study by a technical group as opposed to the more generalist group that we have here?
I think there are probably people on this call who have written protocols, but I agree with you that a broader set of people might want to be consulted before, we actually stepped up and said, here's what we suggest, and by the way, here's this full-fledged protocol that we think we should be implementing.
This is Aubrey. I'd like to add that, I tend to agree, it needs to go to a group. And it's not that there aren't people here that have written protocols, it's that they're not here to write protocols. And so that isn't the contribution that would be expected from them in this group, whereas it would be expected it elsewhere. So I think I'm agreeing with what you're saying, just sort of saying that even if we had a room full of the best protocol writers in the world here, that's not the job that we've taken on in this group.
So it's outside our remit?
Hmm?
This is Dave. I said the development of a protocol is outside this working group's remit.
Yep. I think so, Barbara. Where's the specifying the data and other, I think it's data and meta requirements, is something that would be in the remit. And as not the technical requirements, but certainly the how does it need to be used, what is the kind of data it needs to pass, et cetera, that would fall because that is more of a generalist. The fact that the group has people that are pure policy and that are technical policy and that perhaps are predominantly technical helps us get to a reasonable statement of requirements that may be possible, requirements that may be impossible, gives us a certain understanding of, what is feasible to ask for, what is not feasible to ask for, but we certainly shouldn't be, attempting to, define a protocol.
Let me make sure I understand what you're saying, Avi. Are you saying that anything that would require a modification to the IETF RFC is protocol, or are you saying that, there's a gray area between data recommendations of the general form of label and field content versus overall form of data coming from port 43. Are you saying that anything having to do with the overall form of the data coming from port 43 or the request record going to port 43, that is protocol work? Or are you saying that that's within our aegis to do in this group?
Okay, that's Sabri again. I'm not sure that I would say that anything in an RFC is protocol, because we're constantly mixing in policy with protocol in RFCs. So I would never go that far. But I think anything that requires a change in how the protocol is used by clients and servers, anything that changes, the bits going over the wire other than content. So in some protocols that, I tend to refer to as carrier protocols that sort of say, and here be an XML block, then obviously what's inside that XML block gets defined elsewhere, may or may not be blessed by the IETF, and isn't. In an older protocol where there's a very tight linkage between the protocol elements, the syntax of the protocol elements, and the semantics and the expectations in those semantics, I believe we have a closer need to basically have, you know, IETF ownership on the link between syntax and semantics. So I know I'm being a little wishy-washy about it, but I'm trying to sort of find a fine point that if it changes the client and server's expectation of what they do with a specific packet when it's received, then that, yes, I think that does need to be reviewed within an IETF context. Whether it's deserving of a whole RFC update or not, that's a different question, and it really depends on scope. It may just be an informative thing that goes through the, you know, the IETF churn that sort of says, listen, you know, it's not really changing the operation of the instantiation of the protocol. It's just, you know, something else, but here's what explains it might be enough. But there is an IETF ownership in terms of making sure the thing still works over port 43 with the WHOIS protocol that we do need to deal with. Did that make sense? I hope I did. Thanks.
Yeah, I guess, again, I think that the distinction you're making, I guess I'm not understanding what your point is relative to the discussion that we've had. My take on it is that nothing that we're proposing here in terms of data formatting would require any modification or reconsideration of the current specification for who is port 43. I forget the RFC number that we looked at last time. So I think the IETF, when they wrote the who is RFC, made a correct decision and basically said, this is port 43, this is how you you request from it and you respond to it. From our standpoint at the IETF, anything that's in there is somebody else's responsibility. In this case, it's ICANN's responsibility. Therefore, I think that everything within the data formatting of request response of port 43 is 100% within the purview of ICANN.
This is Aubrey again. Is it going to change the behavior of clients and servers?
Well, it will. I mean, if ICANN says that it has to be a particular way, it will definitely change the behavior of servers in order for them to comply with whatever the new data formatting of who is port 43 responses are and requests are. But I don't think that that's, if we're talking about a world where what we're going to do does not result in any changes to clients and servers, then I guess I'm done with this conversation. I don't need to be here if it doesn't ever change any client or server.
No, I'm not saying that we shouldn't. But what I'm saying is, at that point, I think we're in a gray area where there is some notion of joint responsibilities. And, you know, perhaps it's only sanity checking. Perhaps it's just, you know, defining a type of record. And at the moment, I'm not going deep enough, and I'll have to. But I definitely believe that it's in ICANN's responsibility to do the defining, but it may also be in the IETF's responsibility to cooperate and confirm the what it's done. And I'm not sure about that, but I'm pointing to a possible gray area. I'm certainly not saying we're in ICANN, we have nothing to say about it.
This is Dave. Can I make an observation? We've actually covered, I think, three topics, and maybe if, since we're getting close to the top of the hour, and I know Julie and I have to get off for another call. I'm sure others have other business too. We've said first that that some changes will be needed, whether they're data or protocol. We've also said that this working group, you know, is not tasked to actually look at the protocol, but the data. So some other working group within the ICANN community, and possibly complemented by IETF, people who also participate in the IETF, are going to look over the data model and look over the needs for signaling versioning and whatever other requirements there might be for the WHOIS protocol, and come up with a recommendation for the ICANN community. At that point, that working group probably has to decide how they want to advance the so-called standard that they're going to create, whether it's going to be written into an RAA or whether it's going to be written as a self-standing document that ICANN publishes, or whether it's going to seek IETF standards track or informational track processing. So I think that there's actually a chronology of events that falls naturally from the first several observations we made.
Works for me. This is Jim.
Bob, are you comfortable with that?
So let me try to rephrase or spit back what I think I heard, which is do it in the order of figuring out what the data needs to be and then a deal with the protocol if and when we need to in terms of the other organizations. Is that right?
Well, it's three steps. One is this working party figures out what the data are that we need to have for international registration data and what the recommendations are for them. Another working group, and part of our report would be the current WHOIS protocol can't signal this. So somebody else has to decide how we're going to actually signal this so the clients and servers know what they're doing. ICANN has to then form a working group that actually answers that question. As part of the process of answering that question, that working group also has to decide who's going to publish this standard and whether it's ICANN or whether it's IETF is not up to us, and it would be a recommendation out of that other working party.
So thanks, Dave, for summarizing that. This is Julie. Any questions, further questions for Dave concerning this sort of chronology of steps that he's described? Okay. And I also did want to let everyone know that Edmund Chung was able to join the call. Welcome, Edmund. I'm not sure when you joined, but Dave and I will put together some notes based on the discussion on this call.
Thank you, Julie. I joined about halfway. I was trying to catch up with the discussion.
Great. Thank you very much. I think this might be a good place to stop. In looking at the staff
discussion document. The next section has to do with the various models for internationalizing registration data for contact information, registrant name, administrative contact, et cetera. I think that could be a fairly lengthy discussion, and perhaps we can go ahead and use that as a point of to start the discussion on the next call. And in the meantime, we'll send around some notes and encourage discussion on the list on the issues we've been talking about today from those who were unable to join the call today. Does that sound like a good way to proceed, Edmund?
Sounds good.
Great. Okay, then. We'll go ahead and do that. Is there anything else anyone would like to mention? We can go ahead then, perhaps, if not, adjourn this call a little bit early so we can all move on to our next calls or other work.
No, thank you. That was good.
Thank you, everyone. There will be next week a policy staff. Staff will be meeting that week. So we'll go ahead and schedule a call for 2 weeks from today, and we'll send that information out to all of you and get the notes out, as I said, and, of course, encourage discussion on the list.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Julie.
Yep, and we'll look forward to talking to you in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.